The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Hi, this is Rob, and I'm from Methuen, Massachusetts, and I'm with Mike and Michelle here, and you're listening to the Mickey Miles and More Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 398 of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, and with me on the show today is only Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hello, Michelle.
Only? Just only me?
Yeah, only you. It's very quiet here. There are crickets. There are tumbleweeds. There's something missing.
There's something that's making the chemistry just a little bit off.
I'm missing. There's usually a White Stripes song
there's
in the background.
There's a snarky presence that's no longer here.
No longer here.
Or at least for the time being.
I figured it out.
What is it?
Chris isn't here.
Where's Chris?
I think he's about 1,500 miles south of Nashua. He's in Walt Disney World taking a very, very well-deserved vacation with his family. And, of course, we gave him orders. Enjoy yourself, take notes, and come back and report.
So, wait. Chris gets a vacation? I didn't see that in my Mickey Miles podcast contract.
Well, that's we'll have to renegotiate that.
Aha! All right, well, I think since Chris isn't here that you should share one of the songs that makes you get moving when you're running. How's that?
I just have a Let It Go mix that I found on the internet, and I play that once in a while. It's very fast. It's very intense. It's a Let It Go mix from Frozen. I said Frozen mix or whatever. It's just a Let It Go mix, whatever.
Do I hear it in the background?
Yeah, let me play a little bit. Can you hear it?
No, not really. who does the mix, in case people want to download it?
Some guy named Corbin blah, blah, blah. That's how much I pay attention.
Okay.
Corbin Hayes. It's a Corbin Hayes remake.
Interesting. Yeah, wow.
Yep, that's it.
So I'll know when I see you lapping me. That's what's going on.
No, you won't be seeing that. So, what about a shout-out?
Oh, a shout-out, yes. We are going to talk a little bit about our experience at a race this weekend, and we were at the Runner's World Classic in North Andover, Mass., run by Dave McGilvery, who is the race director for some local race. What is it, Mike?
Some 26-mile race that comes from Hopkinton, Mass., and ends up in Boston.
Yeah, so he's the race director for the Boston Marathon, and he actually pulled together this really great, you know, we're not doing a review of that race, but great in terms of people who were there and expo and the sponsors and everything and lots of celebrity runners. So anyway, we had two Mickey Miles podcast Mickey Milers there. Phil Cordero came up from the South Shore. And Chad Werick was there. We met a new friend. His name is Robert. And Robert's on a different running team, but we want to give a shout out to all those people. And I kind of was watching Robert for a while because he had a Castaway Key running shirt. And I said, I have to go up and say hello to that guy.
It was actually this year. It was actually this year's.
Was it?
It was 2016.
Oh, because
yeah.
The other one was white. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, turns out he's a Disney runner guy. So shout out to all of them. So what are we talking about today?
Well, we're talking about tough decisions. Mm-hmm. Tough decisions when it comes to deciding whether or not you need to or you should or you have to step back from doing a race that you've registered for. We had that situation this weekend, Michelle. It was a very difficult weekend for a lot of runners because it was very warm. Mm-hmm. And we heard and saw a lot of stuff going on with this hat trick, this Runner's World hat trick, Runner's World Classic, because it was in the high 80s and low 90s when the races took place. So made us think about, well, what about Run Disney races and when and how do you consider? What goes through your mind, and how do you make decisions on whether or not to say, you know, I can't do this race? So let's talk about that.
Yeah. So should we talk about quickly what happened to us? And because something happened to each of us this weekend that kind of got us thinking about Disney races and whether or not we would do this.
Right. My doctor told me not to run this weekend because of something going on with me, and she didn't want it to cause a problem. So she pretty much ordered me not to run, and I said okay.
Were you disappointed or relieved?
A little bit of both, Michelle, because I mean this is pretty cool to run a 5K and a 10K on one day, and then a half the next day. It's like running 15K on day one and a half on day two. The only issue is that it was very, very warm, and that was something that I was a little concerned about. Plus, I hadn't been able to train. I was able to try it 2 weeks ago, and I knew it was going to be difficult, so I guess I was a bit relieved. But you were able to put on your running stuff and go. I went there to support you and the other Mickey Milers, and tried to get an idea as to how this was going to run. And why don't you talk about what happened?
Yeah, so unlike Mike, for at least for right now, I'm going to be having surgery next week. But right now, I'm healthy, and I've been doing a lot of training. So I was really, really looking forward to this. One of the things that gave me pause right away was the temperature. So it was, what would you say it was at about 6 o'clock in the morning?
For the 5K, it was 73 when you guys started.
Yeah, but it was a soupy 73. Mm-hmm. So it was very, very warm. But, you know, I thought, no problem. So I ran the 5K with no problem at all. It was hot, I'll tell you. It was, by the time we got running, which was 7 o'clock, the sun was pretty intense, and a lot of the course was, you know, really right out in the direct sunlight. So it made me think, I'm going to have to really approach the 10K in a different way. So there was about, I don't know, 45-minute break in between races, and I was raring to go, and I got going, and about a mile in, my stomach said, Michelle, you're not going to be doing this race. I just did not feel well. I needed to find a bathroom really fast. And so I made the call to pull myself off the race, and it was my first do not finish. And I felt terrible. I mean, I found you, Mike, and, you know, I knew right away that this was not going to be my day. So I knew, but I also knew that I made the right call. I knew right away that it was a good call. But you and I start to talk about, well, you know, what if you pay so much for this race series was $190, which I think is, you know, maybe a little more on the high side. It offered a lot of support. It was very well directed. But what about people who pay a lot of money for Disney races? We know that people have run injured, and you and I are in that category as well. So would we have made the same decision? So that's what we decided that it would be helpful to talk about.
Unfortunately, I have been in that position, Michelle. 2012, I twisted my knee. And I
before the race,
this was right around Labor Day, and I did attempt and I did complete the Tower of Terror, but I was in pain that night. I kept thinking I'm going to get better, so I did not defer Wine and Dine. I don't know if I had already passed by the deadline date. I also wanted to do the Walt Disney World Half Marathon weekend. I planned to do a whole bunch of stuff then. I couldn't, and I think Princess. So I lost out on three.
Oh, yeah, you know.
I lost out on three, but the thing was that I kept thinking I was going to be okay. I look back, and it's very easy to do Monday morning quarterbacking, but I think what you have to do, and you talked about this, yesterday when you decided to pull out, you were disappointed, but at the same time,
you said right away
that was the best decision to make.
Yeah.
And you know, push comes to shove, you want to be. You can't put a price on your health and how you feel about things. And sometimes you just have to say, well, that's just money that, you know, unfortunately is not going to turn into medals and
whatever. I would have been absolutely miserable.
Yeah.
So, well, like, what are some of the things that would make you decide not to do a race? Because I know that, I can't remember what year. You remember all the years of the different races, but I know that one year I had a terrible pain in my foot.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I thought is, I need to go to a doctor. I need to go and figure this out first. And the doctor told me it was okay to run, only to find out after a very terrible race where the doctor said, oh, you're fine. Yeah. I had a stress fracture in my foot. So I think if you're wondering about something, that's the first place to start, to go to a doctor. Don't self-diagnose like you did with this issue. You rightly asked the doctor, you know, is this something I should be doing?
And since she was a runner, I listened to her a lot more diligently than I probably would have if she was not a runner. I think having a professional medical person diagnose what's going on and having them recommend, because lots of times they're going to be, they want the best for their patients. And they're also going to be very, very clear about what you should and what you shouldn't do. Sometimes they'll say, I strongly don't recommend, or, you know, maybe you can, but take it easy. So I think that's a very good point. If a race is approaching and there's something going on, I would have it checked as soon as possible, because you don't want to be caught on race day in a position where things are not going
to
be good.
Right. And you don't want to, like I did, I mean, I went to the doctor, he happened to make a wrong call, but you don't want to injure yourself further, because that will put you out for a longer period of time. And, you know, the money is disappointing if you don't make the deferral, but it's going to be even more disappointing if you put yourself out for 6 months after that.
Yeah, you know, Michelle, you made a you just mentioned about the deferral. So one of the things that I know that when we're come back from the Runner's World Classic, we're talking about this, we thought, you know, one of the things that everybody should do is make a little spreadsheet or a little grid. And on the top of the grid, you would have name of the race, the date of the race,
yes,
and also the date of the deferral, the last day that you can ask for a deferral, and have that posted somewhere so that if something happens, you can keep your eye on that. I didn't do that for one of the races, but again, I thought that my leg would be fine and whatever. And
also the day that you need your time in too.
Yeah, your time and whatever. And think about that. I think that that's important to understand those dates, because I think it makes it easy to make that decision. Well, I need to know by this date whether or not I'm going to do the race. Now, let's take it one more step further.
Okay.
Let's say you're going to do a, what's the next one coming up? The Disneyland half marathon. Let's say you've signed up for the Disneyland half marathon. You've got hotels, you've got flights, you've got tickets all set, you've signed up, maybe some ADRs, whatever, and you pass that date. What do you do?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was writing myself little notes as you were just talking. I think we kind of came to the same thought at the same time, that for me, running a Disney race definitely is icing on the cake, but that's not the only reason I'm there. And I would suspect that most of our listeners would say the same thing. So I would still go to Walt Disney World and cheer people on, and not cancel my trip. You and I are in the lucky position of having run many of these races. We were talking to our new friend Rob the other day, who did his first Wine and Dine last year when it was raining. So, I wouldn't cancel the trip. What about you? Would you cancel if you had trained and you're training for your first half marathon and something happened, you fell and you twisted your ankle and you couldn't go? Would you cancel your whole trip?
If I could walk, I'm going.
Wow.
If I can move and be there to support a lot of
people. You're not gonna do the race. You meant you would.
Let me qualify that a little bit more. I would go with my running stuff.
Yeah.
Especially if there was, I had been too late to defer, and I would just bring my running stuff and be ready to run. And then on the morning of the race, you know, if perchance something happened and I could do it, I would run. But I'd be there either way because I want to support, you know, the Mickey Milers and, mm-hmm. and a lot of people listen to us.
So. I would still go.
Yeah.
Okay, so how about we switch it up a little bit? Now it's the day before the race. Let's say you're doing your first half marathon, okay? Mm-hmm. It's the day before the race. And you're not, something's going on, you're not feeling 100%. When would you make that call, and when would it be okay to make the call not to do it? I know it's an individual choice for everybody, but for you, I'm wondering, what would it be?
For me, it would be, okay, so thinking about what goes on the day before the race, number one, if I don't get a good night's sleep.
Okay.
And that's an individual kind of a thing. You wake up and you say, well, I don't think I had a good enough sleep to run. And a lot of people don't sleep before
a
race anyway.
So that would make you not do the race?
It's possible. I mean,
I never get a good night's sleep.
Well,
wow.
It depends upon, you know, I know none of us ever get a good night's sleep before a race. We're always worried we're going to oversleep.
Yeah, yeah.
But that could be a case. I think that if I wake up and I think everything seems to be okay, I will get dressed and I will go and I will make that decision at just before I go to the corrals.
Okay.
And I think I'd be okay with that, again, because I'm very fortunate to have done a lot of them, so missing one's not going to be a big deal.
Right. So, you know, I'm wondering, like, if the day before, I would probably make sure that I got to bed early, make sure that I wasn't eating, you know, too much salad or something that would make me, you know, give me an upset stomach the day of the race. But what I'm wondering is, like, if you woke up and you still weren't sure that day, would you push yourself to go? Would that be okay? I mean, the thing that I'm wondering this is because I feel like for me to jump out of that race yesterday, part of the thing that was in my mind was knowing the course. So I'd already done the 5K course, and I knew that there weren't a lot of water stops, there weren't a lot of potty stops, and that if I was going to power through with my upset stomach, that it was going to be a tough race. But if I'm running a Disney race, I know that there's going to be a lot of support and medical support all along the way. So if you got up and you weren't quite sure, and you decided to go to the race and people are walking to the corrals, would you still push yourself to do it? I think for a Disney race, I probably would.
There's no question that if you know the course and you're very familiar with it, that's a comfort level that is part of the equation that goes into the decision making. I think that I would start the race if I said to myself, the worst that could happen is this, but I can finish.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing. So I say to myself, okay, the worst thing that can happen today is this. Can I finish if this happens? Well, depending upon the course, depending upon the distance, depending upon yes or no. If I say yes, then I'm going for it. And there have been three Disney races that I've run in the last 12 years in which I've had issues and I've finished. I'm not sure it was the smartest thing to do, but I finished.
Yeah, so for you to start, you would have to, the question that you're asking yourself is, can I finish this race?
Yes, and if there's an issue before the race, then that may very well say to me, no.
Okay.
So I need to qualify that, Michelle. If there's something that's bothering me before the race, and it's never, and if it would stop me from maybe a training run, that's the other thing.
Uh-huh.
Maybe I would say, well, I had this before I started my training run a few weeks ago, and I couldn't do what I wanted to do. So I know I have a reference point that tells me I should not run the race.
Okay. So here's another scenario. What if it was an equipment thing? Like you got to the race and you figured out that you didn't have enough gels, that you really usually run with four gels and you forgot them. Or is there any sort of equipment failure not like in the Janet Jackson sense of equipment failure, but any sort of a, anything that you would forget or arrive at the race and just say, I can't do this. I can't do this because I mean, you wouldn't put on the wrong sneakers, but.
No, but I mean, shoes would obviously be a big deal.
Yeah.
But anything else like hat, sunglasses, running watch, water belt, that would be kind of minor because you do have water stops. You don't need your watch.
Mm-hmm.
So gels, the
Gatorade.
The Gatorade can take care of the gel loss. So I think sneakers and, you know, maybe something bothered me with my shorts, something, I don't know. But
would it make you stop the race, though?
It would depend upon the nature. Let's say my shoelaces broke.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yeah.
That's a possibility, you know?
Yeah, because your shoe could fly off.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting. So is there any other thing that would make you stop? I mean, you've run with a broken ankle. You didn't know it was broken at the same time. I ran on a stress fracture. Let's think about our running friends. Is there any other thing that has made them just decide that this isn't going to work for me today? I think one of the things is weather. We talked about the wine and dine, excuse me, the race that they cut down to 7 miles. That was a half marathon. They actually made that call for us. But there any weather conditions? Was there ever a time that the weather was such that you thought, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this? Because I can say yes at a Disney race.
Other than the rain really doesn't bother me mm-hmm. for running. We've run in crazy rainstorms.
Mm-hmm.
More pronounced as far as weather issues to me is heat and humidity. I mean, I have grown to respect the importance of hydration. If I wake up on the day of a race and I have a really bad headache and I can't figure out why, I really would go back and think, have I been drinking enough fluids and water the past 2 days? Because the headache is the first sign of, you know, you're not hydrated enough. So heat and humidity have become a real concern. When I was younger, it wasn't, but now that I've had a bout with hydration at the Disneyland half marathon, I have more respect for that, and I hope everybody else, you know, realizes that the hydration issue is so, so important. And I've talked with my doctor on that this past week, and she says, yes, that's so important. Runners don't take it as seriously as they should.
Yeah, I also agree. I have a huge respect for people who train in Florida. We hear these issues that they have, but my race, and I think I've mentioned it on the podcast before, it was the one that I thought, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can finish this one, was that Tower of Terror, where it was immensely hot. And I got to mile 8. I was running with 2 other people, and I thought, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I want to do this. I powered through, but boy, it was tough. It was really, really tough. So I think that type of thing, because I have the experience now, would make me probably think twice about running a race like the Runner's World one. It's one of the, you know, to kind of bring it back to the beginning, I don't know if the weather affected running. You know, the 5K time was a little faster than I wanted to go. Maybe I didn't hydrate, but I think that my experience now would make me look at a race like that and say, rather than do not start or do not finish, I'm just not even going to sign up for it.
Was it Phil or was it Chad who talked about what happened at the 10K for the Runner's World Classic? People sitting down.
Oh, Chad was telling me that that it was so bad that people were sitting on the edge of the sidewalk just putting water on themselves.
Yeah.
So.
It was very warm. So I think, Michelle, that's a big key, hydration.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
All right. So I think the bottom line is you got to do what's right for you. And I posted on the Mickey Milers that I didn't finish. And as I expect, because their runners are so supportive and our group is so supportive, people were saying, you know, great choice, that was smart. And I would say the same thing to somebody else. So you have to make the decision that's right for you. Nobody's going to nobody's going to think less of you if you do what is safe and right for you.
Because at any point in anybody's running lifetime career, there is going to be something that very much will be out of your control. Mm. But the control that you do have is to say, okay, I need to take care of number one, and it's good to step away. And I'm proud of you, Michelle, because you know, you were disappointed, but you kept on saying, I did the right thing, I made the right choice, and I think you did. Mm-hmm. I think you did. And the first thing that I think many runners do when they hear of a fellow runner pulling out of the race is try to understand why he or she pulled out of the race, and then automatically you put yourself in that person's position and you say, you know, I think that was the right thing because I would have done the same thing, and I would have.
And my son Liam's away for the weekend. I don't think I mentioned this to you, but he said something to me that I thought was very wise. He said, with the amount of races that you do, Mom, it would be kind of unusual if you didn't pull out every once in a while. So he's right.
Yeah,
he's right.
What Liam was saying is, Liam was saying the law of averages is going to catch up to you sooner or later.
Exactly.
So if you do 100 races and you haven't finished, that's fine. But very unlikely you're going to go another 100. You know, Sid Bush, he had an issue.
Right.
You know, he's run so many. So
he didn't finish his 200 marathon. Yeah.
He made the smart decision because in the bottom line is that you want to run the next day. You want to run the next race. You want to continue running. And if you don't do the smart thing, you may end up harming yourself more so. So that was a good decision, Michelle. And I think this was a very important show to talk about. It's not an easy subject for a lot of people because a lot of people are afraid of failure, but it's not failure. It's making the right decision.
Well, especially when we're talking about a Disney race, and as you mentioned, all the extra money that you're spending, and you may be running with friends, and you know it's tricky, but I'm happy with my decision.
Yeah. And for Disney races, look, it's still a Walt Disney World or a Disneyland vacation.
It's a nice consolation prize.
All right, so you know, use your head and let's hope that everybody gets to do every race they want to do and finish the way they want to finish, and that's happy and healthy. So for Michelle Scribner-McLean and for Chris Aliopoulos, who is, I know he's happy right now, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road and in the park.
The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. If you would like to support the podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. Last of all, don't forget, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com, and we'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.